I want to discuss with you a sugya, a very strange topic. Rabbi Sai, we have a minion. Do you still have a minion for mincha? We have a minion for mincha? Do we still have a minion here? Yeah, okay, we have a minion. So, I guess what time is mincha? You want to look it up? You want to look it up?
15, no? Oh,
12:07. Okay, so let's stop for a few minutes. We have a halach in this week's parasha. Yaakov Avinu, he said he was mispal to Hashem as he came in contact with Esav. He was mispalal kotainti mikol hachas solim mikol emes shor sisa biavdecha ki v'machli avardi sayardin hazeh. Yaakov Avinu was afraid. He was afraid that he would be killed. He would be harmed. His wife, his family, his children, his people, and why? Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he would protect him. Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech. There are no guarantees in life. Shema yigroim hachet. And now he's coming into a matzav of great sakana. And vayira Yaakov. Chazal, are we the Gemara Masechta Shabbos? The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Rabbi Yana Oimer li oilam al yamoid adam b'mokoim sakana. Don't put yourself in a situation of sakana. Loimar sha'isim loines. Don't worry. Hashem is with me. Miracles will happen. Everything will go my way. Shema ein oisin loy nes. V'yim oisin loy nes. Let's say a miracle happens. No. Menachin, it's also not so good. Because menachin means chu yosav. You're taking out of your life savings account. You need this for the next world. In the next world, you also need gasoline. You also need a life savings account of zuchusim. And if you're going to use up, waste your zuchusim in this world, then you're not going to have anything left in the next world, so therefore it's not such a good idea. What's the pasuk for this concept? This week's parsha. Okay, this famous Gemara Masechta Shabbos comes from this week's parsha. Amar Rabbi Chanin, Maikra, Kotoynti Mikol HaChasadim Mikol HaEmes. Rashi there says, Rashi explains, Shuhuk Shuktanu V'Nismatu Zichuyosai B'Shvil HaChasadim Asher Asisa. You've done with me chesed until now, and those chasadim have diminished my merits. It's not good for me to now, all of the dangerous things that have taken place in my life have diminished from my merits and the fact that you have allowed me to survive.
I've been quite able to understand this, seeing the insecurity when Hashem promises him that it'll be okay, and we have other chazals with the ladder and everything.
There are no guarantees.
He seems to be paralyzed by insecurity.
Rashi says there explicitly, Shema Yigroim Hachet.
I have problems with that.
You're a tzaddik. I have no problems with this. Every person, Yaakov on his madrega, that's exactly why Yaakov is in the Torah, because he's a human being, and he has imperfections, and he recognizes those imperfections, and he recognizes that he can do better, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toveya, he's very demanding, and there's such a principle called Shema Yigur Mechel. They asked the stipple, they asked this to all the Gedolim, so how could it be that there are so many segulas, people that have a school, if you're a sandik, you'll be very wealthy if you do this. These are things that are mefarish in the Gemara. There are a lot of schools, not talking about new things people have invented today. We're talking about things that are said mefarish in the Gemara. If you do these things, you're going to be okay. We see people are not okay. We see people do these things. They're very meticulous. Then Hashem speaking to you. But it's no, not necessarily. Hashem spoke to him a very long time ago. It was 22 years ago Hashem spoke to him. No, Hashem spoke to him, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a very long time ago Hashem spoke to him. A lot goes on in 22 years. A lot goes on in one day. Forget about 22 years. Okay, the nisyonos are non-stop. And he said, you're right, but that's all on condition that there are no ikuvim. Just because a person does something that says in the Gemara, you're going to merit arichas yamim, children and this and that, that's all provided, there's nothing in the way. If you've done an avera that is significant, or there is a defect in your character, that's going to, all the schoolers are not going to help. It's not going to make one bit of a difference. There are no guarantees in life. No guarantees in the spiritual world. This is a given. You learn that from Yaakov. My mother, I don't remember the details of it. My mother, Allah Shalom, always used to tell me from my grandfather, Rav Shafshik. You knew my grandfather. He always told me that my grandfather, right before World War II, it was very ominous. People were terrified. What's going to be? And it was Purim. right before World War II, and my grandfather went to a very holy person. My mother told me who it was. Very, very holy person, and he walked into him, and this person was white. He was literally white in pachat. And my grandfather was very young, then he said to him, why are you so afraid? How could it be? How could it be? Europe, there's so much Torah and Chesed, they are such good people. There's so many tzaddikim in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot allow that there will be a churban, something terrible will happen when we have so many good people in this world. So the person, he got very, very angry at my grandfather, and he started banging on the table. And it was right before Purim, and he said to him, it says in the Megillah, Lahashmid, Laharoig, Ula Abed, Eskol Hayehudim, Minar, Viadzokain, Taf, Vinoshim, Biyoimechot. It says there was a Gezerah. And the Gemara says the Gezerah was sealed. It was sealed in blood, it says in the blood and clay.
Not blood, clay.
It was in clay, it was sealed. Oh, what about the legacy of Klal Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the brachos, and all of the things, it all comes down to this, that it's all over? All over, after everything is said and done, all the brachos, all the haftachos of the avos? So this girl says, that's right. It was Lahashmid Laharagul Abed, and it would have happened. And it would not have been a remnant of Klal Yisrael, it would have been all over, despite all of the brachos. It's only because of Lech Kinois Eskol HaYehudim, it's only because Mordechai and Esther rallied the troops to be mispalled to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And if not for that, that's right, it would have been all over. There are no guarantees. Ushmarticha b'chol asher teilech does not mean everything is going to go your way. It's a constant battle. A constant battle to make sure nothing gets in the way. All of the people they're running today for brachas and schoolas and all of these things, it's wonderful. But after everything is said and done, if there are major issues, you see this, there are major issues, there are major problems, then all of these things, it's just not going to help. You have to resolve the issues, the main issues that are causing the problem before you can get the siyata shmaya of coming on to brachos and segulos. This is pashat. Okay, now in this week's parasha, so we learn about sakana. Over here, I have a wonderful sefer we use many times, 5 volumes. Higyoni ha-parasha. We use this so many times from Rabbi, I think Rabbi Wilner, his name is Rabbi Wilner. Dr. Wilner, it's a relative of yours? No, that's not Rabbi Wasserman, someone else, Rabbi Wasserman, R.E.A. David Wasserman. Five volumes. Over here he goes in the topic of Divrei Sakana. It's really not related to the parasha all that much, but he discussed the topic of various types of Sakana, and we're going to focus on for the next 15 minutes the Sakana of Gilui, of drinking water that has been left exposed for a short period of time. The Gemara is very clear. The Gemara Masechta Chulin says that a person is not allowed to drink if you have a cup of water. In fact, there are really 3/5 liquids to which this applies. And it's very much like halacha. We'll discuss the liquids in a few moments, but let's take the simple case, water. If you have a glass of water and you walk out of the room for a couple of minutes and you come back into the room and this glass of water was exposed, it was not covered during those 5 minutes that you walked out of the room, I just told you 5 minutes, it's not so simple, but let's make believe for the moment now, 5 minutes, you walk back into the room, you're not allowed to drink that water. You're not allowed to drink that water by any time, day, night, it makes no difference. If the water has not been guarded, has not been covered, or at least has not been a human being who was awake and was there watching the water, you're not allowed to drink that water because that water is poisonous. There's a possibility, the Gemara says, a snake has come out of the earth.
A scorpion,
some poisonous creature has come out of the ground and has, or from under the table, has injected its poison into this body of this liquid. And now, this creature has disappeared. You are unsuspecting. You do not realize what has happened. If you will now drink that water, your person can rachmana litzlan die. And this is something which you cannot. This is, then don't go tell me, oh, but the chances are so small. The statistics are so rare. V'chulu. We have a very important principle. Chamira sakanta yoyser me'isura. With regard to items which are prohibited, this bittel. 1 in 2 is bottle. 1 in 60 is bottle. 1 in 100 is bottle. 1 in 200 is bottle. There are many different rules on halachas, how we apply the rules of bittel. But when the day is on, everything is bottle. more or less everything is but the less is davar chashav, davar sheish lematirin. But more or less, you'll always be able to find a solution with the world when it comes to bittul. When it comes to sakana, even if it's 1 in 1,000, there is no bittul. Chamira sakanta yoyser meisura. Don't say don't need to put on my seatbelt according to halacha, because the statistics are only 1 in 10,000 get killed because they're not wearing a safety belt, and the Torah does not acknowledge the number 1 in 10,000. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, because chamira sakanta yoyser meisura. There are no statistics when you're dealing with matters that relate to sakana. The Gemara says there are no ands if and buts. You're not allowed to drink the water. You really don't know what happens. Don't go start making calculations. What's going to be? Did snake come, not come? You're not allowed to. That's the bottom line. Period. That's what it says in the Gemara. Enters the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam paskins this lahalacha. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in the Rambam brings down. The Torah brings it down, and it's even brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, okay, along to the rescue, the Ramah. And many in his wake as well have come along and said, Bizman hazeh, there are no snakes. When was the last time you saw a snake in Brooklyn? Okay, it doesn't happen. And even Yerushalayim, they're very, very rare. Okay, in the modern world, we don't have snakes anymore. It's not very common among us. What? In the zoo, it's common, but not in the musical Midwood.
They come out of the
toilet? Not my toilet. Not that I know of. Okay, so it's not common. So therefore, the minig is, okay, Rabbi Sai, the minig is to be lenient. The tam no longer applies bizman azeh. Therefore, the custom is to be lenient, and therefore, you don't have to worry. You can go, and even if the water has been exposed, you can drink from the water. This is what it says in the Ramah, and this is what it says in many of the Paiskim. However, it's not so simple. It's true. This is what it says, but there are other Paiskim that disagree, and the Vilna Gaon strongly disagree. The Vilna Gaon was before the Ramah. And the Vilna Gaon,
after
Ramah? Yeah, I'm sorry. The Vilna Gaon was very, very makbid on ghee. It's called giloy if the liquid has been exposed. And the gist of his logic, it's not just the Chazan, not just the Vilna Gaon, it's others as well. I have a long list of people, unfortunately, my mind is very, very small. I can't remember too much at one point. They hold that when the Gemara gave you the reason, there are a few issues. Number one is, when the Gemara gave you the reason why you're not allowed to have gilui because of the concern of a snake, that's not the only reason. The Gemara often only gives you one of many reasons. There are many reasons why the Chazal did not want you to drink liquid that has been exposed. One of the practical reasons is because a snake may come and inject poison. But there are other reasons that are hidden from us. Now, does that mean these reasons are Kabbalistic? Does that mean there are other practical reasons, which for whatever reason the Gemara did not want to tell us? Why not? I don't know why. But it may be some type of thing that Chazal understood in science that we do not know. Who knows? Therefore, the Gra and others say, if the Gemara says it's Aser afilu bizman hazeh. In recent times, the Chazon Ish was very, very makbid on this. Wow. Chazon Ish was very makbid. Gilui, he would never drink anything that has been, any liquid that has been exposed.
Same thing as wine, yain also.
Oh, we're coming out. Now let's discuss. Now, halacha l'maisa, ruba druba, we're not so makbid. We're not so makbid, but you do see that if it doesn't really make a difference, if no harm done, then why not? Why should a person play around with chazan? There's another halachic reason why it's a problem, and that is, there's a principle called davar shebeminyan, e'efshar levatloi, unless there's a minyan that's gadol, nimenu b'chachma uveminyan, even if the reason no longer applies. The classic example of this is cheese. Now, the truth is, cheese is really very complex. We need a cautious expert to go teach us. Kallus. Right, Kallus. Oh. Right, Kallus is a cautious expert. Maybe you want to talk about this next week? About cheese? Want to give a share?
I'm not sure if I'll be here.
Okay, but cheese, even though today there are very certain leniencies regarding cheese, but the Gemara says, the time of Chazal, it was forbidden for a Jew to buy the cheese of a non-Jew. And there are many reasons why you may not buy the cheese of a non-Jew. Now, first, you have to know that it's impossible for to curdle cheese of a non-kosher milk. Cheese of a pig does not curdle. Doesn't happen. However, the Gemara says you may not buy cheese from a non-Jew because they would mix in the liquidy cheese non-kosher milks. but they would have it set in the rennet of a nevela.
Right.
The reason why our cheese is kosher is because it develops, we don't do this anyway today, it's the chemical process, but in the name of Chazal, in the stomach of an animal which is shashchita. Not going into all the details, the very complicated sugi, we once discussed this, that even though it's meat, nevela, the stomach is meat, but at bottom, but the point is, but it has to be kosher, it must be a kosher shechita. If the stomach, we use chemicals today, we don't do this anymore, it's not okay,
but the
remnant,
which is an animal,
with taken from,
Dover,
today they don't even get it from the animals anymore, today they have other chemicals which are just as
artificial.
The incident is a
Dover
Hamaimit.
We're not going into too many details. It's not the topic. There's a lot of details of why it's also. So basically, there are problems. Another problem with Gemara is that it was very common in ancient times that the guy to make the product look nice, they would smear the surface of the cheese with chazer. So therefore, Chazal came along and they said that it is forbidden under no condition for a Jew to buy cheese that has been manufactured that comes from a non-Jew.
No, but it says in other places, Beremiza, it says because Mishum B'nei Seyem.
Because what?
Mishum B'nei Seyem.
B'nei Seyem. You may come to marry their daughters. Okay, intermarriage. Other reasons are fine.
Same reason
why bread pas akum and the bishul akum. Same reason that those as well. There are different reasons. Whatever it is, that's not our topic of discussion. The point is, Chazal enacted a very severe prohibition. You're not allowed to buy the cheese of a non-Jew. Many of these reasons do not apply anymore. They didn't apply even years ago. We're talking about even 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago, they don't apply anymore. They don't apply. Is it permitted to go and buy from a non-Jew? No. Now, even though you'll tell me that we do today, all the yeshivas, they used to at least take cheese from the government. Let's put all that aside. Let's just focus on for the moment. Let's not get carried away. Let's not get off topic. Bottom line is, it's very clear in the Paiskim, even though when it comes to cheese, let's go back even hundreds of years ago, the reasons did not apply. The ban was still in effect. Why? The reasons no longer apply. There's a principle. If Chazal prohibited something for a reason, even if the reason no longer applies, it is forbidden to undo the ban unless you convene a bezdin that is at least equal or greater than the bezdin that actually instituted the prohibition, the chokhma uv'minyan, in number and in knowledge.
And it has to be both. Knowledge
both. And minyan. We don't have a bezin that will never happen today. To have a bezin that we can say is gadol mimenu b'chochma u'b'minyan to mevatel d'gzeira, and therefore, whether we like it or not, we have no choice. We're stuck with it. We're stuck with the ban. Now, the same way that principle is applied clearly when it comes to cheese, we should seemingly apply the same principle when it comes to gilui, when it comes to liquid that has been exposed. Chazal said the reason why you're not allowed to drink water that has been exposed because a snake may have injected poison. That's not an issue anymore, Bizman Hazeh. There is no snakes. So what? But it was instituted by a bezdin, and if we want to undo the bin, there has to be a bezdin. So why, Taka, is there a difference between the two? That is a very strong reason why Bizman Hazeh, there are two reasons why it would be awesome. Again, number one is because there are other reasons which Chazal did not reveal to us, and we have to take that into consideration. The second reason is because it's also, we need another bezdin that's gadol b'chokhma v'minyan. Now, the second reason why we can be lean is because there's an assumption that the water is, Chazal only prohibited the water, not, water is, okay, there, I'm talking circles, I'll give you just one reason at a time. Water is mutter. It's just that if you leave the room and you come back inside, then the water is asur, because maybe a snake came inside. But water, Chazal said, is mutter. You never heard Chazal saying you can't drink water, let's have a filter. Water is mutter. If you walk outside, then you have to take into consideration. Cheese, Chazal said, I don't care this, that. The cheese that comes from a non-Jew is asur. There's no moment in time when the cheese was mutter. You go into a non-kosher store and you want to go buy cheese? Forget it. If the owner of this cheese, the one who manufactured this cheese, is a guy, it's asur. There's never a moment in the history of the cheese that the cheese is mutter. It's asur from the very beginning. So now you want to tell me, well, the only reason why Chazal made a prohibition because A, B, C, and D, and today that doesn't apply? Doesn't matter. You need a bezin that's gadol mimenu b'chachma b'minyan. Water, Chazal never said water is aser. Water is mutar. There's no problem with the water. If this water that is mutar in front of you, if you happen to walk out of the room and no one's watching it, and then you come back inside, now it's aser. Why? Because maybe a snake in the meantime came inside and injected poison. Bizman hazeh, snakes are not coming to inject poison in our water. So if water started out as mutter, it remains mutter. It's a very important distinction. See, this is Gval, the whole thing for me was Gedai, this little idea to understand that distinction, why indeed you do not need to come on to the principle of Dover that's Aser B'chacham of a minion. Because those things which are Aser B'chacham of a minion, when Chazal instituted, they instituted from the get-go, from the Shoresh. Things that are mutter and then become aser because of a reason. If the reason does not apply, bizman hazeh, so it retained its chazokah, its presumption, it was mutter, it remains mutter. Okay, that's very, very important. You saw, to learn something today, you always wonder, what did you learn today? That you saw was kedai, we learned today. Now, let's just go through some practical halachas. Halacha l'maisa, we're not nakbet on this, pretty much. But some are. You're definitely going to find people that are machmir. If you can be machmir, I know. What are the issues? First of all, big question: how long do you have to walk out of the room for it to become gilui? So there's amazing disagreement among the modern day pesukim or the shiris. Some say even a second. The Gemara says the amount of time it takes for a snake to come out of the corner and inject its poison and disappear. Well, how long does it take for a snake to do that? I don't know. Go to a zoo. Go ask the people who are experts. Okay, some people it's very some snakes are quick, some are short. Some say it's even a second, even a few seconds. Some say that's at least 2 to 3 minutes. Some say 10 minutes. Some say 5 to 6 hours. It's a very big leniency. As long as the liquid was not exposed for 5 to 6 hours, I don't know where they get that number from. That's what it says. I put that in the most very interesting. Besides this, from the Chof K. From the Chof K, they have even 5 to 6 hours. Wow. A very good article on this. I never saw such a good article on this. 516, who says this? Divrei Malkiel. The Divrei Malkiel is a famous pasuk. The Divrei Malkiel. Divrei Malkiel 4:1, 5 to 6 hours. Some say 20 minutes. Some say.
Who says the 20 minutes?
20 minutes is. 20 minutes, 17 is Oz Nedabu. Oz Nedabu. It's also a very famous pasuk. Oz Nedabu. Rabbi Foyn, he always quotes the Oz Nedabu. Okay, whatever it is. Fine, so that's it. Now, next issue. What are the liquids? Now, this is very important. The liquids are what? Milk, okay? Water, yayin, wine.
Shemin?
Wine? No, not shemin. Shemin out. And honey. Honey and tzir brine, fish brine. Those are the five liquids which the Rambam lists. And those are all very practical. Now, at least four of them are very practical for us because you always have a situation that wine is always a big problem. You leave wine exposed, you got a problem. Water certainly is a problem. Honey. No, we use honey not as a drink, but we use honey as a dip. You dip the apple in the honey. You leave the honey exposed. That's a very serious thing. You have honey, and you go, you put it on a dish or whatever it is, you leave it exposed, you want to go use it again. The honey has been, you've been out of the room, the honey has been exposed. That is a shayla of gilui, if you mark it on gilui. Again, what we say, and then we said also water and fish brine. Okay, let's go quick. Now, even though we're not maybe mark, what about netilas yodayim? Are you allowed to use water? All these shilbachim, what do they do when they go to sleep at night? They have negovasa, and they leave the cup of negovasa by their bed. And they wake up in the morning and do negovasa, and they have to walk dalaramas. Most of adults, we don't do that, right? We don't do that, because we hold the whole bias is one big dalaramas. But all these shilbachim, they have a negovasa right by the bed. Wait a minute, are they covering it?
You're not drinking it.
So what? So it's for a mitzvah, until Sudayim, Giloy, the big machlos. I'm just running to the issues, I don't have time. Right. So you see Lai Shibachim, they put the negovasa by the bed, and they leave it there the whole night. Giloy, Einachnami, it's a major, major machlegis, if you're allowed to use that water, Yotza, Schorei, Behef Seidei. You think you're doing yourself a favor? By taking a negovasa, putting it by your bed? And wash the negovasa the next morning, pump out carrot. You're not even going to the negovasa because the water you wash with is possible for the negovasa because of giloy. Better don't do it. Go to the sink in the morning and take fresh water. Okay? if you want to do it the right way, l'chatchila, you cover it. You cover it. Just take a piece of paper. A piece of paper, you cover the water. Okay, that's something to keep in mind. Some Paiskim disagree. They say negalat from taker is only for eating, only ingesting, not for washing. Machlokes. What about for netilas yodayim for netilas yodayim for bread? It's also the city's all shas. There's no answer. There's no conclusive answer. These are issues. Issues makbid, not makbid. Some say for dvar mitzvah you should be more makbid. Even though for eating you don't care, fine. But a dvar mitzvah, then maybe you should be more makbid for making the bracha netilas yodayim. The two of the very big issues are kiddush and havdalah. I know, I mean, it's very common. I come home, I'm ready to make Havdalah, I have someone in the house there, and I go and I set the whole Havdalah, I set up the Havdalah, I get out the besamim and the candle, and again I pour the yayin, and I'm all ready to go. No, not ready yet. Not ready yet. So then what do? I go into the other room. I go to the other room, I check my email, I go do whatever I go do until they're ready. Come back. Wait a minute, I already poured the wine, and the wine has been exposed for 3 minutes in the kitchen. So that's really a big shayla. That's a very, very big shayla if you're allowed to use that wine anymore. If you make Havdalah. Yeah, Giloy.
You said most people follow since the...
There's no most. It's a machlekes. There's no most. Eating is only called eating. Then there's making kiddush. Kiddush and Havdalah is a very long... Kiddush for sure is a problem. That you should be makbid on. Havdalah is a very long Mishnah Brura. That has a dilemma. Is Havdalah the same status as Havdalah that you should be makbid? Okay, what else? What other shaylos? Fruit. You go wash a fruit, you go wash an apple, and you go into the other room, you come back, the apple is still wet. There's moisture on the apple. It's a shaylos of gilui. Shaylos of gilui. Some hold all food, any food that's liquid, the chazan. This was makban yogurt. He held yogurt, even though it's not from the, it's also this moisture, this liquid, is liquid. These are all very big shaylos. Let's say it's exposed in the refrigerator. I put it in the refrigerator, and then it's not covered. Is that called gilui? Pashtus is not. If it's in the refrigerator, it's okay. Some people, they have some people, they go and they take potatoes. They ever hear this? I never heard this before. Potatoes, they soak potatoes in water, and the next day they drink the water. Fatigue? They drink the water. Yeah, it's also be good to help for chronic fatigue. Place. Giloy,
yeah.
Giloy, you're doing more harm to your neshama than your guf by drinking water that was giloy. Okay, let's say you're in the same room. If you're in the same room and you can see it, so it's certainly not giloy. Let's say you're in a different room. I'm in this room and the water is in the other room. I'm keeping my eye on it. I have my monitor, a baby cam, Wi-Fi. I have a baby cam that's watching the water. Is that called giloy? Shaila, what exactly is it? A Kabbalistic concept? Is it a physical concept? These are real shailas. Ice. This is a good shaila. Ice. Is ice called giloy? Ice is water. I have ice. I leave the ice exposed. I have a container of ice. I open up. I leave it out. I go out. I come back 20 minutes later, and the ice was exposed. So I only want the ice. I don't want the water. Is that a shaila of giloy on ice? It's mamish water, but it's frozen. It's machlekes. It's not so simple. These are all shailas. If you're not going to use the water, are you violating Baal Tashchis? Definitely not. If you're not using food because of a halacha, there is no violation of Baal Tashchis. By the Seder, now the cups of wine are exposed for a very long time. So you're telling me it's not gilui because you're there. You're sitting by there.
Right.
Okay, that's taka true. But sometimes, during the Seder, you go out, go in, people not paying attention. It's a very long Seder. The wine is unusual. Pais can point out that it's unusual that liquid is being exposed for such a long period of time, even though seemingly there's supervision. But it's not really such a good supervision when you see such a long period of time. You're focusing on talking to someone. You're focusing on the Haggadah. You're not giving it your full attention. You're supposed to be giving your attention to your children. V'igant levincha. So why should that be golgiloy? There's a custom.
If they came in during the Seder, everybody would notice it.
Not necessarily, There's a minhag that you take the koishel Eliyahu and you use it for kiddush the next day. So some you have to cover it because if you leave the kosher yo exposed, some you pour back in the bath. If you pour back in the bath, you won't leave it exposed. Some do that, so it has to be covered. I'll give you one lamsha shayla. Since whole halach of gilui, according to some, is not really necessarily a physical sakana. Those who are makbid want to say it's really a kabbalistic whatever. So you want to, the chazal say to do it, you do it. It's a kabbalistic idea. Thus, listen to this lamsha shayla. It's a real shayla. The meila, it doesn't have to be physically covered. It's enough if it's covered through lavud. Yeah, chiddush? Lavud. I put the thing under a shelf. So there's no, it's not actually covered, but there's more than three tefachim. Less than three tefachim. Less than three tefachim from the cover. Can a snake get in there? Absolutely. But is it covered? Today they know snakes. So we still cover it for Kabbalistic reasons. So since, anyway, it's only Kabbalistic reasons, so you can come on to Lundis. You can say that it's lavud. It's lavud to the yayin, so it should be okay. I'll leave one last joke. With the joke, I remember my father was once in the Din Torah. He was not in the Din Torah, he was once an observer. He was an observer as a student in the Din Torah, and they were accusing a fellow of like you talk of mamish of violence. And they accused him that, you know, he took a knife, he picked up a knife to someone. That was part of the complaint they had against his cell, that he picked up a knife to someone, therefore they wanted to fire him. He was a Rebbe, a teacher, and they wanted to fire him, he didn't want to be fired, it was a lot of money, this, that. And the yeshiva said, we're intelligent, he's a violent person, he picked up a knife to one of his students, to one of the people. So the guy said, my father said, everyone couldn't stop laughing. The guy in his defense said, I didn't pick up the knife. The knife was leveled to the table. That was a joke. Okay, everybody side. With that, we will conclude.
What?